Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Morning! Good morning. Happy Monday morning. It is your boy, Frog Boy, Marquito Tito, our God Savvy. What else do they call me, Dan? Sugar Boy Slim?
Marcos.
That's right! I don't know about that last one I said before, Marcos. I just felt like throwing that one out there. But we are live here on Tobin and Leroy. Tobin out. Leroy out. So it is Marcos and Dan filling things in. And we got J-Fig in the background. I know a lot of people are off today for multiple reasons. Martin Luther King Day, Inauguration Day. Or you just hate Mondays. Just a case of hating Mondays. You know, that could be a reason why you're off today. But first things first, I want to thank you for choosing to listen and watch us. If you're watching us on YouTube, Twitch, that's Miami 560 WQAM. Today we're going to give you the regular dose of silly sauce, even though our boy Tobin is out. Leroy is out as well. They'll be back at full action tomorrow. I, however, will be out. I'm heading to Baltimore. Dan, you ever been to Baltimore?
Yeah, of course I've been to Baltimore,
man. Of course, I mean, of course you've been to Baltimore.
Camden Yards, I've been there. I went on the riverfront, or the bayfront, and they got great crab cakes. It's crab cake capital maybe of the world.
Okay.
Got some hoods in there too, man. You know, so be careful as you drive around, you know, Baltimore.
I appreciate that. Thank you. The Wire, right? Was that The Wire was from there?
You're in the DMV area. That's what they call it.
Oh, that's I have heard that.
So before. Drop some colloquialism in there and say, oh, man, you know how it is in the DMV.
Yes, for sure.
We got Richie. Holler at Richie. Richie's in the DMV right now.
Richie in the DMV?
One of our guys over on Twitch.
Is he not in the V part of the...
you go.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Virginia, yeah.
I don't know how close are they really? Is it like West Palm, like Broward County, or is it like... Because I can't trust anything, you know, being in an area where like it takes 8 hours to get out of my state, I don't know what it feels like. But apparently, from what J-Fig's telling me in the chat, today is also another special day.
Mm-hmm.
Vlad's birthday.
Cousin Vladimir Louison birthday.
Vlad, happy birthday goes out to Vlad.
Took the day off.
He deserves it.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of giving him a hard time for taking a day off, and he's like, Is it so much to want my birthday off? I go, you got me. Okay, take the day off, bro. So with much love to Vlad, I owe him a couple of beers. We're actually going to high-end it. We're going to go to Brickle one of these days.
Brickle.
Rose of Sky, a rooftop bar.
No. Dan, you've changed.
I'm paying.
Hey, listen. You've changed recently. I want you to know that, bro.
Thank you.
Your palate has grown.
Mm.
Back in New Orleans, I don't know if you're telling me rooftop. You know, little speakeasies that you're trying to go to now. Now, all of a sudden, Dan, you're going to these high-end places where you need reservations. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with you anymore.
I'm all over the place, man. I still hit my dive bars, Bob's Your Uncle on the rocks, but also, you know, got to mix it up, man.
You can't get stuck in a rut
these days.
A couple other birthdays today. I'll go over a couple names. Tell me if you recognize any of these names. Stacey Dash.
No.
Wow, no. Clueless?
Who's Stacey Dash? Clueless?
Nah, I'll tell you what, I'll show you on break with Stacey Dash. JJ McCarthy, quarterback of the Vikings.
Possible quarterback.
And Blueface, rapper Blueface. You're a fan of Blueface? Tyler Hero, how about that?
Whoa!
Tyler Hero.
He had a good game last night, too, man.
Yes, he did.
But he was not
he
the buzz at the game.
Oh, no.
You know what everybody's buzzing about?
Khalil Ware, Dan.
The big lineup. Khalil Ware, Bam Adebayo, finally. Bam Adebayo moving to the four, possibly. Khalil Ware taking the five. That's why we drafted him. Let's go.
How long did that take? 40 games? We're 40
halfway through the season. 41 games. Last night was the 41st of 82 games.
That's got to be just straight up stubbornness by Spo. That really has to be.
Everyone going crazy.
That really has to be stubbornness by Spo. We had an action-packed day yesterday, an action-packed weekend, of course. But I would like to call this worst-case scenario weekend. You know why I call it worst-case scenario weekend? Mm-hmm. All the fun storylines are out. They're out. As of right now, I'm staring down the barrel of another Chiefs repeat because on Saturday, they brought us the Chiefs doing Chiefs things.
Yes, of course.
Potentially some ref interference there. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs were going to win that game. They just were. There's nothing you can do about that. The biggest heartbreak of all on Saturday, the Lions, dude.
A lot of people had them as their Super Bowl favorites.
The Lions, dude. Man Campbell, the Cinderella run has come to an end.
Well, I mean, they won 14 games.
The Cinderella run. 15. They couldn't have done anything better to put themselves in a better position, right?
I 15 mean, games. They had a rookie quarterback they were going against.
Come on, dude.
A team that had only been in the playoffs forever. They hadn't won a playoff game since 06 until the week before.
Truly, truly a big letdown. You know, I know they had a lot of injuries that they were overcoming, but it really seemed they just got outplayed, dude. They just got out. And it was, I'll tell you what, it was very, one of those things you blinked or you looked away for a second and you came back and there was a touchdown. And you were, from one point, it was like a 3-point game. And then it becomes a pick six for a touchdown. And then there's like a reverse for a touchdown. And then there's like a screen pass for a touchdown and a long run for a touchdown. It was very uncharacteristic of what you associate this Detroit team with, but man, it was great football to watch. Just sad, definitely. But you called it, man. For the first time since 2006, the Commanders advance. That should be an interesting matchup with Philly. It's, of course, everyone would say typically if you were picking between this team and Philly, Philly's been rolling for quite some time. But this is a division matchup. All that goes out
right.
The window,
that's so. The thing. The Commanders aren't going to sneak up on the Eagles, though. Like they've kind of snuck up. Let's be honest, they've kind of snuck up on people all season long, and they kind of snuck up. You feel as though on the Detroit Lions. Yeah. So this is a team that's very familiar with the Commanders. I've played them twice this year. They know what they're getting into. So does Jaden Daniels have more rabbits to pull out of the hat? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see for sure. Good game, and then the Sunday slate also delivered. Another instance in which, all right, well, we kind of expected what to happen more or less with the Eagles and the Rams and Saquon Barkley, dude. Yeah. There's not a day that goes by that doesn't baffle me that the entire front office wasn't not only fired but just completely blackballed from ever getting a job in the NFL again, because he has proven to be the biggest mistake in their in their entire history in regards to letting that man go. What was it, 200 yards essentially with two touchdowns?
Yeah, 205 yards, two touchdowns. Both runs for touchdowns were over 60 yards. They were big in a big snowy game where you need a big running game. Yeah, it's pretty important.
Absolutely.
But man, did you see towards the end of the game, the Eagles kicker in that terrible snow was golden. Saquon Barkley has that big run. They score a touchdown. You're like, oh, this game's over. He misses an extra point. Oh, it's 13. Rams come back, score a touchdown. Rams get the ball back. Driving down the field, I'm like, are they going to lose because of a missed extra point? If you're an Eagles fan, and maybe, 305-567-0560, let us know. Are you about to crap your pants thinking that the Rams are going to come there and beat you by an extra point that you missed?
Yeah, that is the elements this time of the year, man. The elements.
Ball was all over the place.
We saw snow games galore. It was a winter wonderland that we were witnessing. And it even got a little bit colder because it was, bro, it was, I don't know about you. You were actually working a lot this weekend as well, but it was like 85 degrees yesterday.
It was hot. It was beautiful, yeah.
Well, it was beautiful for sure. But I was told there was going to be Arctic winds, damn it. And they didn't come until this morning, apparently. This morning I woke up, it was like 59.
It's those fake headlines like, freezing weather in Florida, but they don't say like in Miami. They say Florida.
Florida, yeah.
So you like be like Pensacola,
which is not, you know, I refuse. But you know, it's a different story for a different time. You know, Pensacola. You're Alabama, but it's fine. It's fine. We'll talk about that another time, Dan. Jeez. Yeah. So we saw Philly run all over the Rams, and then the game I felt like everybody was waiting for. Bills Ravens, how much of that were you able to catch, sir?
No, I caught it. Yeah, caught most part of it.
So I don't know about you, but being from South Florida, I'm sick and tired of the damn Bills. This was supposed to be the year that they were going to be vulnerable, and Josh Allen has never looked better, and the team has never looked better, which is scary to say, you know, because this, like I said, this was the year that the Dolphins were going to overtake them, and it seems like that gap has grown somehow. And it doesn't look to be shrinking anytime soon. But I think you have to put a lot of it on Baltimore's mistakes more than you would Buffalo's performance. Lamar Jackson, another fumble.
Tried to do too much, man. Didn't really mishandle the snap. It was a high snap.
Yeah.
He thought he had it under control, and then obviously didn't have it under control.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, another game in which the elements did come into play for sure, but you know, it wasn't anything that was unplayable. You know, we've seen worse conditions for sure. And it's just another game, unfortunately, where small things are going to come back. That two-point conversion at the end that Andrews drops is what we're all going to remember. But there are other key drops that...
Yeah, fumble, too.
You know, there's other key moments prior to that that definitely are worth mentioning. And now, you know, this is a strike at legacy. Everyone's always like, can you win the big one? Can you win the big one? Lamar Jackson, the best regular season player of all time. And he was really heated after the game. We'll probably hear from him coming up in the show. A couple quotes from him, the coach, in regards to how they're going to be dealing with this. One thing I did do, I did catch myself doing, as I watched all of these teams that were victorious, was kind of like play the comparison game of like, how does my quarterback stack up against that guy? And it kind of hurt my feelings a lot. Just thinking in general, how does my team? I've seen Saquon run, and yeah, Devon Achane, you know, can definitely break off in some speed, but that was between the tackles. You know, there's times where it's between getting 1 yard that's going to be more valuable than, you know, whatever potential long run we've been blessed to have. But we'll talk about that and much more. And when we come back, we got 15 minutes of heat. Not only did we get the appearance of the newest, biggest thing in town with Khalil Ware and Bam Adebayo. Got to update our Jimmy Butler timeline, dude. We got to update our Jimmy Butler timeline. We'll grade his performance. We'll talk about what he said after the game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
15 minutes of heat here on Toman and Leroy. It's going to be hard to just spend 15 minutes of heat on what has been going on around these Miami Heatles. Let us start with the return of Jimmy Butler. This past Friday, everyone was discussing, you know, the big thing that was on the docket, essentially, was the Jimmy Butler meeting with the owner, the big man himself, Mickey Arison. And not a lot came out of that, if I'm not mistaken. Dan, did you hear anything that I maybe have missed? But I heard nothing from the meeting itself.
No, nothing from the meeting itself. What I did take from it is, number one, basically reiterating he does not want to be here anymore, Jimmy Butler. And also, he's been told to say no comment. I don't know if that was from that meeting, correct, or his manager said, you know what, no comment. And also, opening your big mouth could cost you money because it could be seen as, what do you call it, behavior detrimental to the team.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I think in the meeting there was a come to the middle ground of just say no comment about anything that involves this whole situation.
Yeah, for sure.
But the truth will come out, he said. The truth will come
out. That was the interesting comment that kind of stuck with Heat fans. I believe this is with Will Manso. He says,
You think Jimmy wants everybody to know the whole truth? Because you and I work behind the scenes, and there's a whole lot of truth from both sides that could be shared that may make both sides look a little differently than people are perceiving them.
See, my thing is, like, when you really think about it, though, there's really, like, nothing else that I feel can come out that would surprise me. There's nothing else that you can tell me that would be like, I can't believe the Heat did that, or I can't believe Jimmy Butler did that. There's nothing really that I think can potentially come out. But I think that's something that you say when, like, I don't know, you kind of are, like, losing an argument, and you're just like, okay, we'll see. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. You really got nothing else left, but nonetheless, look, I'm glad it kind of seems like we're finding this middle ground, this weird, I used to have a room in my house that my mother referred to as this, in which it's like, once you moved out of your room, right, as an adult, and you left the house, when you came back, you didn't go back to your room.
No.
You went to the garage, right? You converted the garage into something, or you're sleeping. Hopefully you don't go back. But if you have to go back, you don't go back to your room. You go to this, like, what's that place before hell?
Purgatory.
Purgatory. That's the word that she called
it. Yeah, your room has been converted into a den or a man cave.
You will never be allowed to be comfortable here again. That is it. Those days are done.
Show you.
So this purgatory essentially is what the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler find themselves in. You know, they're not in the honeymoon phase, and they're not in the we can look past it to think about whatever has gone on before. So it kind of was weird. What the hell was going to happen? And finally, the word comes out. Not only is Jimmy Butler available, but he will be in the starting lineup. And that was against the Denver Nuggets, a team that, you know, needless to say, has had Miami's number. I heard a crazy stat that I don't even want to confirm, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the last time the Miami Heat won in Denver may have been 2018. And they, including the finals most recently, I believe they're like 2-15 in their last couple matchups. So, never a good outing when we go against the Nuggies. But, needless to say, the Miami Heat felt this was the right time to get Jimmy Butler back in the starting lineup. And I know you produced yesterday's game, but did you have a chance to catch the Jimmy Butler debut against the Nuggets?
Yeah, absolutely, man. 33 minutes, 18 points.
You know, they weren't. It wasn't like, hey, let's kind of see if he can maybe work his way back. They're like, here's 33 minutes first day. We need it, buddy. Like you said, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. You know, he kind of, I would say he wasn't dogging it.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't dogging it, but I know he also wasn't, you know, putting on like a Jimmy Butler playoff Jimmy, but which I don't expect. And I'd struggled to find that from him prior to this entire saga. Anyway, it would kind of be like whatever the hell he felt like it.
I kind of feel like Jimmy Butler, it's not that he's not giving his all or his 100%. He's just focusing his energies in different areas. He's more of a facilitator now. He's more of a perimeter, stand on the perimeter type of guy. He's more of a set a pick type of guy. He's not the take over the game, score a bunch of points, get to the free throw line type of guy. So the energy and the effort is there. It's just not the way Jimmy usually expends that energy and effort. So you'll get a lot more picks and assists and standing around. Spacing would be another thing right there, because, you know, Tyler Hero's got to get his points, and
yeah,
Khalil Ware now maybe getting his points.
So that was Denver. We kind of like got drubbed there. It was Friday's game. The entire game we were down by 10. We ended up losing by 20. It was 133-113. We move on. A lot of people focus on football, and then we get to yesterday's game. It was a 3 p.m. tip-off, and we got what the hell Heat fans have been clamoring for, have been literally begging for since the man was drafted. Needless to say, if you've been watching the Heat, this hasn't been Bam Adebayo's best season. One of the remedies that Heat fans have been calling for has been to put, I don't know, maybe the 7-foot giant right next to Bam Adebayo and allow him the opportunity to potentially roam, do other things than have to be this Shaquille O'Neal dominant, Zydrunas Ilgauskas kind of like figure. That's not who Bam is. It seems simple enough to us, you know, peasants in regards to basketball knowledge. But for some reason, Eric Spoelstra, who knows better, obviously knows, has more knowledge about basketball in his pinky fingernail than I do in my entire brain. Other than that one time I carried the lava to that one point. Just one point. That's all I carried them to. But seeing as he's been so stubborn all season, for a while it made Heat fans think maybe they knew something we didn't. Maybe Khalil Ware wasn't who we thought he was. Maybe he wasn't the presence that the Miami Heat needed. But in every single minute that he had played throughout the season, the potential was there every single time. Whether he's shooting a three-pointer, he's getting a rebound of some sort, he's blocking a shot, he's dunking over someone, he's doing something creative to find a way to get the ball in the basket. And everyone is watching like, how the hell can this guy not help us? What the hell is going on? Dan?
This is the thing, and Eric Spoelstra and even the guys did talk about this last night, is that this has been in the works for a while. They've been fine-tuning it. They have been practicing it. They have been working on it. We live in this society, Marcos, where It's the Jaden Daniels Society. I want it, and I want it now. You need to be all pro, and you need to lead us deep into the playoffs, and you need to be great now. Khalil Ware is a first-round draft pick and a rookie at that. To expect him to come in right away and have chemistry with Bam Adebayo and the whole team and to be a well-polished, great NBA player, that's asking a lot. So I think Eric Spoelstra realized a lot of that, and he's been in behind the scenes and been fine-tuning this thing, and it maybe took 41 games to get it out there. And of course, you see it yesterday and you go, we've been sitting on this the whole time. What? Look what our season would be. No, maybe this was the right time that it was finally ready, and that got to the point that you saw last night. So I think we need to learn a little bit more patience. And just because we call for something and it quote-unquote works right away, there's a lot more that probably went into it. And like you heard from Tyler Hero, you heard from Bam Adebayo, you heard from Eric Spoelstra, we have been working on this for a while now. It's not something new to us. It's just something new to you. I think, you know, it's like making, let's say, beef Wellington. You got to put it in the oven for a little while. I think now it's finally well cooked and it's out there, and we'll go forward. The Spurs aren't playing very well right now. That's another thing that we can't overlook.
Yeah, for sure. And the length of Wemby is obviously going to lead for us to put the tallest possible lineup we could out
there. But notice, they didn't do it against the Denver Nuggets, where they had the 7-footer that's an MVP. They did it against Wemby, who's a 7-foot-4 young player with length. And you wonder the timing. Why not break it out against Denver? Why not break out the tall lineup? I can tell you why. Because it's a little different personnel and a little different of a team than the San Antonio Spurs.
I got to see it, Dan. I got to see it now. Now I'm convinced, too. Now I'm convinced. Everything that you said was probably completely right. But that's not how I'm interpreting it.
Okay. Break it down. As a Heat fan, what are you interpreting?
That logic that you just spit my way was great. It was probably the right answer. I'm going to take that and I'm going to throw it out the window, man. I don't give a flying bleep about that, because all I saw yesterday was validation of put Bam at the four, get a tall guy in there, and let's do this.
So how
thing,
many points
dude.
Did Bam have since this new lineup
now,
has been
okay,
introduced?
Now, this is something that I, as Bam's biggest hater this year,
well, go ahead.
I even have been, you know, critical of Bam Adebayo. I know yesterday was not a great game for Bam Adebayo offensively, but that's just because everybody else was scoring. He didn't need to score, baby.
Okay, yeah.
But I did feel like, nonetheless, after watching him struggle and put up those kinds of numbers all season against other opponents, I was finally able to see him do it, but like with a smile on his face. Like, that was a part of the plan, you know? Every time I see him and he potentially goes 0-for-2 from 3, 6 points, 11 rebounds, I'm like, this is horrible, because I know he was striving for more. When I see him do it in a performance like yesterday, that tells me, obviously, Duncan Robinson had a great game. Jovic had a great game. Jaime Jaquez had a great game. Tyler Hero was consistent.
Terry Rozier even had a big game.
Come on, scary Terry, dude.
Yeah.
That has been something that we've needed. So it kind of tells me that, okay, yes, of course he's struggling, and it's still a problem that he's struggling.
Yo.
But the mistake of whatever game he's attempting to adjust to is kind of like superseded by the success of Khalil Ware. And I feel like if we were to put them in the same position, eventually Bam's going to figure it out. And with him having less pressure on him, because when they were on the floor together, they weren't just good defensively. They were elite defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And Bam was able to do things that he's normally not able to do. Normally he's the guy in front of, you know, the person driving, and he doesn't have the opportunity to have those come from behind blocks. But with Khalil Ware taking that position, it kind of frees him up to be a better defender. And I know he had a horrible offensive game yesterday, but I'm confident that if he is alleviated of his duties defensively, that is going to lead to a better offensive Bam. But then again, I could be completely wrong, because this team has been 500 for damn near three seasons.
Three seasons, yeah.
So, like, at this point, I'm taking a page out of Tobin's book and being Wild Heat Coyote and hoping for the best. But yesterday looked good, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you can't complain about the, especially the third quarter, 46 Come points. On. And you're hoping it's the big lineup that kind of gets the guys spread out a little bit more. Khalil Ware can play inside and outside. Bam can now roam around free. It maybe opens up some three-pointers when you have some big guys in the middle, because they really, man, 46 points in one quarter for the Heat?
Yeah.
That's something right there.
Yesterday, he got his crown snatched.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan Robinson, dude. Dunkyard dog. He's the only man that I know who has Victor Wembanyama's number, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time these guys match up.
He's a Spurs killer.
He does something on Victor Wembanyama to make him look absolutely foolish. And he had an amazing game yesterday. It was a game we haven't seen much of Duncan. You know, we've had a great offensive output, especially from the three-point line from Tyler Hero this season, but we haven't seen much of Dunks. And yesterday, I don't want to say he turned back the clock because he's still relatively young, but it was a vintage Duncan Robinson performance. But I think the story on everybody's mind waking up was how amazing it was to see Bam Adebayo and Khalil Ware play some significant minutes together and to have the 7-foot rookie shine the way that he did. After the game, Spo finally had to answer for his crimes, dude. His crimes of stubbornness. He should listen to me. Dan, I led the lava to a point. You didn't see the margins we were against. It was a rough matchup, and I fought through and through. I know basketball, dude. And even if I didn't, I know big guy equals big things. Pause. Let's listen to Spo yesterday after the game as he spoke on Bam and Khalil Ware playing together.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the initial spark to the game. You know, they just were tremendous defensively. That kind of ignited the energy, you know, for the group. And then we were able to get some in transition. And then, you know, our offense obviously started flowing from there. You know, and this old head coach has been trying to get the team to connect the dots. Usually when we defend and we play with that energy, the basket gets bigger for us. You know, our offense hasn't been where we've wanted it to be all year long, but it has been in the games that we've been able to defend for the most part. I know a lot of teams say that, but they're dynamic. This is something that we've been slowly starting to work on. You know, I know that Khalil, you know, generates a lot of opinions, you know, out there. You know, let us do our job. Let him do what he's been doing. You know, the initial thing was to develop him, get him comfortable in a role where he could really impact the game. And the second unit has been coming along. It's been one of our bright spots, you know, the last several weeks, and he's really been getting comfortable in that role, and what he's done with his play and his ability to impact the game has earned more. And that's what you're seeing. That's what you want all players, you know, to do. Earn more, make us watch you, make us have to play you, make us have to think about not playing you, make us continue to figure out other things and just keep you on the court. And that's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, dude, that was defensive. He knows everyone's going to be like, what the hell were we waiting for? And he knows that everyone's going to be yelling at him, but he kept it. He kept a cool face on. Just like you said, Dan, this was a part of their plan.
He said, let us do our job.
Let us do our job. And you know what? How dare you doubt Spo, Dan? I heard you on the commercial break. How dare you doubt Spo? Never doubted him.
That's the ultimate leave me alone.
Yeah.
Let us do our job.
Let us do our job.
You don't want me coming in and telling you how to do your job. Don't tell me how to do mine.
Fair. That is a fair.
That's a good way to get people off you real quick. But yep, got to answer. Yeah.
I mean, he mentioned it there. It was the spark that got the team going. Defensively, it looked amazing. It looked amazing for so many reasons. Here's another one from Spo on leaving Bam and Ware in together for so long.
Like, it was working. So, we need some obvious decisions right now. There's a lot of complex decisions, you know, that we're trying to make. If there's something that's obvious and it's working, like, in a big way, let's do it. And you know, that's, you know, when I say make us have to play you, that's what that lineup did. There was, couldn't go away from it, you know, in this game.
Wow. Before on the lineup, it seemed like Dunk was a pretty big beneficiary of the group. He came out a pin down from Kalel, come off the handoff from Bam, and it just feels like he just has space to operate. What do you like about kind of the shooting you could see from Duncan?
It's really important if we're going to do that, you know, to be able to have him and Tyler just running around and creating some overreactions. Bam and Kalel, you know, have their you know, have such a willingness to be screeners. And, you know, Kalel's really worked on the details of his screening, not only pick and rolls, but catch and shoots, which was unique to us. He's gotten a lot better in the last few weeks. And so they both have those kind of habits where you can still find your spacing by running those guys off screens. Tyler also was a beneficiary of one with Bam on a pin down.
Look, so he's not only helping Bam, he's also helping the guards out. But he did say something interesting at the end of that first question that kind of leads me to think, or like, I can't necessarily trust that Spo's just gonna have Kalel Weir in the starting lineup. No matter how well it looked, no matter how much I want it to be the truth, he did say that was a lineup you couldn't go away from this game.
Mm-hmm.
This game.
Very specific about that.
Very, very Pacific about that, Dan. Let's get one from Kalel Ware here before we get out of here. That is the man everyone wants to hear from. Yesterday after the game, we had an opportunity to hear from the 7-footer. This is Kalel Ware on his excitement on getting to play next to Bam.
You know, it was exciting. You know, me and Bam, you know, been wanting it to happen. And, you know, just for it to happen, we have to, you know, make the best out of it for the first time. So, you know, we can show people what it looked like a little bit.
I love this, Dan. I love this.
He and Bam both wanted it. It's mutual.
Come on. And then, you know, I know Jimmy's not necessarily 100% checked in, but just seeing them together was just like, whoa.
Makes you forget about Jimmy?
It just kind of made me forget that there was drama. It made me forget that there was drama.
For at least a little while.
I was just like, look at them just playing basketball.
Yeah. Look just at hooping.
Who would have known? Look at us.
Just hooping.
A week ago, everyone was at each other's throat. Now look at us. We're just celebrating. It's kind of like when there's tension in the marriage, you know, and then your baby does something cute. And you're just like, look at us, you know.
Why are we fighting? Let's never fight again.
Let's just be one big family again. Can we do that, Dan? Is it too late to do that?
And keep those good vibes going because the Blazers are coming in town and they're not the best team in the world.
And we hate the Blazers. But I tell you what, a loss to the Blazers will send this thing overboard.
As good as this marriage is right now, you lose to the Blazers. Don't
do this.
We're having a good week.
All right, we got more on the Tobin and Leroy show. It is Dan holding things down on the board. It is I, Frog Boy, sitting down in Tobin's seat, and it smells. J-Fig is holding things down in the background. She will be around a little bit later. Maybe we'll play some games.